couple were having difficulty with their memories. The doctor told them just to write everything down and they would be able to remember everything. And they were home one evening and the husband got up and said, "I'd like to get myself some ice cream. Would you like some?" He said, "Sure, I'd like some ice cream." Said, "But you better write it down or you'll forget about it when you get to the kitchen." "No, no, I don't need that. I'll just make it fine." "So yeah, but I want strawberries on top of the ice cream." And said, "Got it. Ice cream, strawberries, no problem." "Oh, but put some whipped cream on it. And you better write this down or you're going to forget all about it when you go." "I got it. Ice cream, strawberries, whipped cream." He goes in there, he stays quite a long while, and he comes back with a wonderful plate of bacon and eggs. And she says, "I knew it. I knew you'd forget. I knew you just wouldn't be able to remember what I told you. Where's my toast?" Our memories let us down sometimes. But the Lord knew that at creation. He knew that when He created us, He would need to remind us of some things all along the way. We have the Scriptures in print, the Old and the New Testament. Why do we need this? To read regularly, to be reminded of what God, how He loves us and what He's done for us and what He expects of us. Early in the Old Testament, the children of Israel would often take some stones and stack them up and remind themselves of a special event, a special way that God intervened on the behalf of the people. And they would remember those things for a long period of time. In fact, when Joshua and the Israelites crossed the River Jordan, the Lord stopped the waters. The waters parted for them. And the Israelites crossed over, and the Lord instructed Joshua, "I want you to get 12 men, and I want those 12 men to pick up 12 stones. And when you get to the first place where you're going to spend the night, I want you to build an altar there." And sure enough, Joshua got those stones when they spent the night, and he stacked them up in a special kind of way. And he said, "One of these days, the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren are going to ask, 'What are these stones for?' And we'll be able to tell them." It's when the Lord performed an amazing act for us. And by the way, He said, those stones are still there today. You see, they needed to be reminded of the activity of God. And we need that from time to time as well. That's why there are preachers in this world. I'm sure you're wondering, maybe we don't need so many preachers. But let me remind you that that John 14, 26 says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." The Spirit of God reminds us of things, doesn't He? He reminds us. He brings things to our memory that we need just at the right time. We need that. Our brains are wonderfully made, but God knew that we would need to be reminded. 2 Peter 1:12, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth." Sometimes I wonder as a pastor, why am I doing this? You've heard this before. You're firmly established in the truth. What sermon have you not heard? You've heard them over and over again. You've heard them many times. And yet this says we need to be reminded of them. And so I guess there's some job security here for the pastor. We need to remind each other of the truth that we now have. Jude 1:5, "Though you already know this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered His people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe." We're talking about memory and the fact that we should sometimes have memorials. There's a cemetery not far from here, and there are memorial stones by each grave. They remind us of who's buried there. It's a part of our lives. Jesus knew that when on the night He was betrayed, the night before He was to be put to death, Jesus reminded the disciples of something very special that He wanted them to remember and that He wanted all of us to do as well. Let's pretend that we're walking up the stairs right now, all of us. We're walking up the stairs into the open room, the upper room. And as we get to the upper room, we begin to smell some wonderful smells. And we open the door and boy, it hits us right in the face. Roasted lamb, fresh baked bread. Is there anything that smells better than fresh baked bread? There are other things. There are vegetables being cooked. But there are also some bitter roots, bitter plants that are also being developed. There's a fruit and a nut paste called the hadoset. It's kind of something that reminded the Jewish people of the mortar and the bricks that they had to make for 400 years of captivity in Egypt. All of these things were in the upper room. You see, Jesus didn't have something that we're going to have today. It was the Seder. It was the Passover meal. And the Jewish people celebrated that annually. It's a special occasion to remember the exodus of God's people from Egypt after 400 years of captivity, to set them free and to be able to ultimately worship Him freely. This is the Seder. In each plate, each item on the plate had a special meaning. First of all, today we know that as the Passover is celebrated among Jewish Orthodox Jews, that they will send the children around looking for leaven. Anywhere in the house that they might find leaven, they'll sweep it up on a piece of paper and make sure that all the leaven is out of the house. That's a reminder for all of us today that as you've come to this place of worship today, and if you know Jesus as your Savior, you're welcome. This is not East Leesville's table. This is not the preacher's table. This is the Lord's table. And you are welcome at His table in a few moments. But you may need to go and sweep out some leaven. See, leaven represents sin. You may need to go do some house cleaning before you partake of this, because it's a serious event we're about to have to remind us of something very special. So as I'm preaching and as we're passing out the elements and the music is being played, if you just want to bow your heads and reflect, say, Lord, I got mad at my neighbor and I'm so sorry and God just forgive me. And, you know, begin to talk about the things that you might need to confess to Him. You want to have a clean heart. You want to sweep the house clean of all leaven so that you're prepared to partake of the Lord's Supper today. But everything has significance. Even the bitter herbs, most of the time that was something called horseradish. And if you've ever had a horseradish root and you've sliced it up and you try to eat any of that, it's going to bring tears to your eyes. It's that strong, it's that powerful. But that was its purpose. It was to bring tears to the eyes of the Orthodox Jews so that they would remember the tears that they shed in Egypt. And so it is with our lives. We must remember all of these things about our Lord and the suffering that He went through. The vegetable, which was usually parsley dipped in salt water and eaten, reminded the people of the hyssop and of the blood of the lamb that was dipped into that hyssop and placed on the doorposts and the lintel of the houses in Egypt, so that the death angel, the angel that was sent to destroy so many of the children and people in Egypt, that he would pass over them. He would pass over that house, and that house would be protected by the Lord Himself. But that reminded them of this amazing experience. There were boiled eggs often in the Seder meal as well, represented the mourning and the struggles of those 400 years in Egypt. And throughout the time that the meal was shared, there were 4 cups of wine that were poured, 4 small cups of wine. The first one was the cup of sanctification, and then there was the cup of judgment, and then the cup of redemption, and the cup of rejoicing. The cup of rejoicing was probably poured and sipped before they sang that final song and went out to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus would be betrayed. But that third cup is where scholars believe that Jesus said to the disciples, Jesus changed everything, folks. He changed everything from this amazing Seder meal, this Passover meal. He changed it to the Lord's Supper. He changed it to what we experience today of communion, whereby we remember Him. We remember. You see, we need reminding. We are forgetful about what Jesus did for us on the cross. And so we need to remember these things. And so at that time of the sipping of the wine at the cup of redemption, Jesus said as He held it up, men, I want you to know that I want this to represent my blood. I want it to represent my blood that I will shed. It's not my blood literally. It is representative of the blood that I will shed for you tomorrow and I want you to remember me when you drink it. And he said the same thing about bread. He broke it. He shared it with them. And he said, men, I want it to be different from now on, from the Passover meal. I want it to be something that will remember me, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, at this time. And he took that bread and they all shared it together and said, this is my body, which is broken and given for you. Jesus changed everything. He changed the whole pattern of what they did and how they did it. He introduced a new and a better covenant when he came. The old covenant with all of its hundreds and hundreds of laws that no one could keep. And also the amazing rules that they had and the animal sacrifices that they went through. He said, you don't have to do that anymore because I'm going to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the perfect sacrifice, the complete sacrifice. And by the way, when you do this, remember me. This is not the time to think about dinner or the roast you've got in the oven. Not time to think about the football game this afternoon. This is time to focus on Jesus. Focus on the cross. My favorite hymn is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Now, the word survey is pretty detailed. I'm not a surveyor, but they've got this instrument. It's very detailed, and they look at a lot of the details when you survey something. You look at the three men on the cross. You see the blood that's dripping. You see the dogs that are in the distance waiting for everybody to leave. You see the Roman soldiers. You even smell the smells, and you hear the sounds of the scoffing and all of that. You hear the moaning of the people on the cross. You got to survey it, people. You got to look at it, and you got to receive it and understand what's happening there. And if you will do that, you'll be partaking of the Lord's Supper in an accurate and wonderful way. Not a time to let your mind wander, but as they're being passed among you, put your head down and reflect and think and get a visual image in order that you might truly remember his death and proclaim his death until he comes again. That's why we're here. That's what it's all about. But there's one other thing that Jews today will celebrate. The father of the household will take the matzah, the unleavened bread, the cracker that has no leaven in it, and he will break it three times, and he will take one of those pieces and put it in a napkin. And it's a kind of a fun time. It's a time of celebration. Afikoman means dessert. It means something wonderful. He places that afikoman in a napkin, and he gives it to the youngest child in the household to go and hide somewhere. The other children close their eyes so that they don't know where it is. And he hides the afikoman, the dessert. And ultimately, they will all begin to search. They're having a wonderful time. It's a fun time. And lo and behold, when it's found, everybody has a wonderful time. Everybody is happy. Everybody's rejoicing that this has been found. Kind of remind you of something else. Does it remind you of one who would be placed in a cloth and hidden somewhere like a tomb? And when he was found and when he came forth, there was great rejoicing. Listen, the death, the burial, the resurrection is all in the Passover meal. The Messiah is there and he is pictured there in amazing ways. And today we celebrate, we remember all that we've talked about, all of the Lord Jesus and everything that happened to him until he comes again. And that's why we're here. My prayer, my heart's desire is that you leave here with a vivid memory of the cross, of a dying Savior, of one who was buried and who rose again as our risen Savior. May that be true of you today as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. The scriptures record it this way, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. Let's have a prayer together.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just humbly come to you this morning, and Lord, we thank you for the many blessings that you give us, but most of all, Lord, we thank you for the sending your Son to die on a cross for our sins. Lord, as we take this bread, I pray that we will never forget the brokenness that you had on the cross. I pray that we continue to always remember the sacrifice that you made for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
And the deacons will pass the bread.
Thank you.
Then Jesus spoke to his disciples and those in the upper room, and he said, "Take this bread and eat it, and when you do, do it in remembrance of me." In the same way, he said, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this when you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's have another prayer, if you would.
Dear Lord, we come humbly before you, recognizing your incredible power, your infinite wisdom. But God, we recognize most of all the completed work of the cross, which is your grace. God, that you would humble yourself, God in flesh, the Son of God, that you would bleed upon that cross, and that by your blood that we would be saved, that the veil would be torn, that we might enter into the throne room of grace and have a relationship with God the Father. God, the work is complete. Dear Lord, just help us now to remember what you've done for us so that we might proclaim your name, that we might believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that you, in fact, are Lord. We thank you for this. We desire to honor you in this. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Stand.
Deacons will now pass the fruit of the vine. Thank you. Then Jesus took the cup and he looked at his friends in the room, those that he had discipled, and he said, "This wine represents my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And when you do it, when you drink it, remember my death until I come." Recently, we've had some wonderful worship experiences, and it may be that at home or here or somewhere, you've made a personal commitment of your life to Jesus Christ. We want to give you an opportunity to come forward. You always want to make those public. You don't want to be a clandestine, secret Christian. He calls us forward and to make a commitment to follow him and to be baptized and to become a member of a local church. So you may have that decision to make today. We want to give you a brief opportunity to make that decision today. Let's stand together. You come as our instrumentalists play.